Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network, and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. Uncovering super bosses in the mastering of talent management, that's all today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Sid Finkelstein is the Stephen Roth Professor of Management at a place close to my heart, the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, where he's also the director of the Tuck Center for Leadership. He's listed in the Thinkers 50, the most prestigious global ranking of leadership gurus. He's been on our show for his impactful book and Wall Street Journal bestseller, Why Smart Leaders Fail. It's going the other way in this book, Super Bosses, How Exceptional Leaders Master the Flow of Talent. Good morning, Sid. Thanks for joining us again.
Great to talk to you, Jim.
Legend up at Tuck, and I've got my Dartmouth golf shirt on in your honor. I'll be wearing my Tuck golf shirt tomorrow when I'm actually playing. All right, I want to start right off because it seems kind of like an oxymoron to me that an exceptional super boss by definition would seem to be unique. Are you saying that we can kind of clone and gain lessons and define what is a Finkelstein super boss?
Super boss is a leader, is a boss, is a manager who helps other people accomplish more than they ever thought possible. And as a result, they accelerate the careers of those people. And you could see it because you see the track record of a leader over a period of time where many of his or her proteges have moved on to great things. And the reality is, yes, you could have super bosses. In fact, we do have super bosses up and down pretty much every organization.
Tell us briefly your methodology, because you spent 10 years on this.
Yeah, I did. And it was really a long, rigorous process, hundreds of interviews. And what I did up front is I realized, and you mentioned the earlier book, Why Smart Executives Fail. At the end of the day, I kept getting the same question coming up, and that is, you know, what about the talent side of the equation? I mean, are they surrounding themselves with great people, and what really differentiates this? I came to realize that the ability to generate and regenerate talent on a continuous basis, probably the single best thing you could do in any organization to survive and thrive into the long term. And that set me off on a path to look for people like this, who's really good at it. And I looked at people like Alice Waters at Chepenny's restaurant in Berkeley, Miles Davis, a really unusual example. I just saw the Miles Ahead movie the other day. I looked at people like Ralph Lauren and a lot of others, and in every step of the way, what I did is I interviewed either the super boss and actually always a bunch of the proteges of the super boss to try to understand what do they do that's so special and what's the pattern that exists here. So that was the methodology, and it was very iterative. I didn't walk in saying, well, this is what it is. I didn't even have the word super boss in my head for a long time. It just kind of emerged when I talked to, you know, these hundreds of people trying to figure out what really separates the people that are good at generating, regenerating talent.
And I love the three sort of creative names you came up for the categories where you kind of segmented them in, including my favorite, the Glorious Bastards. Tell us a little bit about the categories.
This is all about the style and the motivation of these leaders to account for why they help other people get better. And they're different. You mentioned the Glorious Bastards. They are people like Larry Ellison, you know, really tough CEOs or executives or managers. And many people say, you know, how could he or any of these people be great bosses? But in fact, if you work for somebody like that, the opportunities are gigantic. I spoke to so many of his protégés that have gone on, Larry Ellison's protégés, that have gone on to tremendous success. And the key thing here is that these people, they want to win, and that's what they care about. That's how they define their life. What they have, the insight they have, is that the best pathway to winning is surrounding yourself with world-class talent and continually making them and helping them get better. And so while they might not be the, say, the nurturing type, which is another one of the three categories, they're not going to nurture you all that much. The fact of the matter is that they do help you get a lot better because they recognize how important you are to their own success. So you've got the Glorious Bastards. The nurturers are the ones that maybe people think of a little bit more often when you say, well, what's a great boss? This is somebody who spends the time with you, helps you get better, looks for what you need to get better. And the third type were a little bit more unusual in the sense that they were the creative types. You know, Miles Davis fits into this category for sure. These are people that I call them iconoclasts. And these are leaders, really, that end up surrounding themselves with tremendous talent because these people gravitate towards the creative types, and they get better just by being in that circle with that leader. And so the motivation is different for all three of these types, but the fascinating thing is they all pretty much do the same thing.
Where would Donald Trump fit in?
You know, I mentioned him briefly in the book, and Trump, boy, he's not any one of the three, in my view. Some people will say he's the Glorious Bastard, but in fact, the truth is, well, he might be part of that. The truth is that he there's no track record of his ability helping other people get better. and spawning a set of great leaders that have developed and moved on in the industry. I actually call him in the book the bossy boss.
Yeah,
you know, someone who needs to be the center of attention. I mean, all the things we've kind of seen in the primary campaign. I know I'm going to get a lot of nasty mail just by saying anything negative about Donald Trump these days. But speaking as a researcher and as a scholar. He's neither type of a super boss.
Would he, by the way, be an example of a guy that needs to surround himself by sycophants?
Well, it appears to be that way. I didn't interview him, right. You know, and I didn't talk to his protégés in the way that I did, you know, all these other people to truly know in any kind of, you know, rigorous way. But, you know, you listen to the things he says, and who does he listen to? Who does he take counsel from? And he talks about himself more than anyone else. It's not clear that he's looking for a lot of pushback and challenge from people around him.
I want to start with a guy, too, that you found in an unusual place for what's considered a business book, and that's Bill Walsh, because he developed its end-to-end management system of a whole NFL franchise. Talk a little bit about what you uncovered.
Yeah, Bill Walsh, really an interesting example, and a fun one also, because there's a lot of data on... in the world of sports, which makes it good for people like me to show up and start studying them and trying to figure it out. And what I was interested in, why Walsh got my attention, is I was interested in whether there were any NFL head coaches that had a track record of spawning the best talent, exactly what the super boss phenomenon is all about. And what I did, because of the data that exists, is I looked at all the Super Bowl teams, the head coaches of the winning team and the losing team, so pretty much, you know, the two best head coaches each season. And I did a genealogical study of them, meaning not who their parents were, but who they worked for. And I created these trees of talent. And when you do that, as I did, you discover that Bill Walsh is far and away the most influential of any head coach in the history of the NFL. More people came out of his shop, so to speak, than anyone else by far. Bill Parcells, by the way, was number two, which is kind of interesting. And I think the biggest reason why that's the case is that Parcells had one protege that went on to tremendous success that seems to be in the Super Bowl almost every year. And that's, of course, Bill Belichick from the New England Patriots. So Bill Walsh is a great example of being able to demonstrate what that incredible track record is in terms of giving these opportunities and creating these opportunities for people and spawning these head coaches. And it goes to show you that the superboss pattern and the idea that there are superbosses, I mean, it goes across just about any type of industry you can think of.
It's fascinating. And Parcells, who actually plays golf at the same club I do in Saratoga, to me, he's a glorious bastard type of coach, a great coach. The thing about Walsh, too, it's interesting, is NFL is a total copycat league, but he actually invented the West Coast offense with Paul Brown. The other thing, Sid, is that it's interesting. You talk about, I think, that that Walsh would be willing to call people to help get them jobs. He, as you know, was very bitter that Paul Brown seemed to block him getting opportunities coming out of the Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a good insight. And, you know, what's really in his head and what made him tick, because, of course, he's passed away, but what made him tick is really interesting. Being passed over for the head coaching job when Paul
yes.
Brown said something different, you know, I think that had a gigantic influence on his life and how he thought about it. And one of the things he did say is, that's never gonna happen to anyone else. Now, that doesn't mean he would just go out of his way to help people if they weren't ready. He would only pick up that phone to talk to an owner, which he would do when there was a head coaching opening, if he thought somebody in his staff was truly ready. And if he didn't, he just wouldn't do it. Now, you have to really think about how unusual that is, because what Bill Walsh did, and it's the most extreme of any of the super bosses when it comes to helping people on their team get other jobs elsewhere, is that he would actually help them get jobs where they would be competing directly against him, because they'd be the head coach of another NFL team.
Business Talk with Jim Campbell, syndicated nationally over 350 stations, the Biz Talk Radio Network. Go to biztalkradio.com to find the closest one to you. Listen over the internet. More Super Bosses with Sid Finkelstein of the Tuck School next.
Music is with us wherever we go, whoever we're with. The sounds we share bring us together. Like the sound and feel of a Casio 88-key digital piano, just $299. Listen to your favorite song on a pair of AKG K52 headphones, just $29. Or strike a chord with Ernie Ball strings, three packs for $10. This Memorial Day weekend, find your sound at Guitar Center, in-store and online.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back with Professor Sid Finkelstein of the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College. I just want to finish one thing up on Walsh. Did you find that these super bosses tended to be happier or more satisfied? I know one of the things with Walsh was he's a fairly tormented individual.
These are complicated people, to be sure. I mean, is Larry Ellison happy? Well, I guess if you're a multi-billionaire, it helps you. I think almost without exception that the super bosses appreciated and recognized, some very clearly and others maybe a little bit more subtly, what their impact was on people around them. Even Larry Ellison talked about that. Was Bill Walsh, you know, happy or not? I don't know. Somebody who is this kind of ultra-perfectionist, always wants to get better, never can quite reach there, and just expects himself to get there, and you can make yourself crazy also.
All right, let's go through some of the styles and categories within that. The first one I want to start with is sort of the quiet charisma of a guy who was a CEO-making machine, which I hadn't realized, Mike Miles, who comes out of Kraft, the consumer packaged goods marketing, who actually came from my hometown and my parents knew pretty well. And the couple times I met him, he seemed like the epitome of low-key. Charisma didn't stick out.
Wow, that's so interesting. Charisma is not a prerequisite to being a super boss. You do get some of these larger-than-life characters, to be sure. Michael Miles, unbelievable story, because you look at the people that work for him, and they went on to become, you know, the CEO of Campbell Soup, of Mattel, of CVS, of Marks and Spencer. I mean, so many different companies. And what was he great at? You know, he really built this kind of apprenticeship model, I would say, within Kraft that made Kraft an absolute machine of developing superstar talent. And by that I mean he would create big opportunities for people. If he thought somebody was able to do something big, he would give them that job even before maybe that person recognized or thought that they were ready for it. He would roll up his sleeves and dig in. You know, he would get in the weeds with people. You know, he didn't go over that micromanagement line that everybody talks about. You know, don't be a micromanager. And super bosses, for the most part, are not. But that doesn't mean they just kind of sit back and watch. They roll up their sleeves. They work hand in hand closely with people on their team. And Michael Miles did that as well.
Okay, that leads right into something that it does seem like a paradox, which you term hands-on delegator for these kinds of super bosses. In many cases, I think you cite Ralph Lauren in this case.
Ralph knew everything that was going on in that company. He was extremely detailed. But he also was a big delegator. This is the thing that's a lot of counterintuitive things that I found that super bosses do that make it really, really important and really interesting. And this is a big one, which is, you know, give people big jobs, but at the same time, get in the weeds with them, work with them closely. Most people think about that management style as saying, well, my boss is a big delegator and gives me a lot of rope, versus my boss is a micromanager. But if you start to think about it a little bit differently, as super bosses do, you say, you know what, you could actually delegate big, and why would you want to forget about it? Why wouldn't you want to be a teacher and help them? And you can go far. I mean, Ralph Lauren is someone who, if he didn't like something that somebody was doing, he wouldn't just let it slide. He'd be there because, you know, these people, without exception, really are very performance-driven. They've got a vision. They want to accomplish something. and they're not going to take second best work as acceptable work, and that puts them in the game.
How about an example of a woman super boss for us?
Well, you know, one of my favorite, and I talk about her extensively in the book, is Alice Waters, who's the founder of Chef Panisse Restaurant in Berkeley, and she's the woman that really brought to America farm-to-table, local sourcing, organic, sustainable food, and which you see in every high-end restaurant today. She was the one that really started this in the 70s when she came back from France and opened up a restaurant that had those values. If you look at the people that have gone through her restaurant, there are literally hundreds of people that either were sous chefs or bakers or even waiters and busboys that have opened up their own restaurants, their own companies. And in the case of Alice, I look at her and I say, this is another example of a counterintuitive thing that she did that a bunch of other super bosses did. And I'm referring here to this tremendous vision she had, and I just described it for you, you know, with this farm-to-table view of what food is all about. But at the same time, she would unleash the creativity of the people around her. She wanted to hear your best ideas. She didn't tell you what you needed to do. She gave you a lot of rope, really, to try to figure things out. But she'd also expect you to be, whatever you're doing, to be consistent with her. If you weren't into the idea of what food can be, you wouldn't last with her very long. And so she combined, I call her actually uncompromisingly open, she combined this idea of this uncompromising vision with this this openness to new ideas and this unleashing of creativity.
Let's do the entertainment industry for a second here. Two talent machines, Lorne Michaels at Saturday Night Live and Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, and then one that George Lucas was more on the vision plus autonomy, which is how I view Buffett.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, Lucas had a vision of creating a movie or a set of movies that eventually became Star Wars, but he didn't know how to do it. In fact, when he had that idea, there was no technology available, and so he actually became, in a sense, a venture capitalist by funding a dozen different companies, one of which became Industrial Light and Magic, which became a legendary company in that industry. Another one, by the way, became Pixar. So it's pretty interesting. He had that vision, and he had to figure out how to do it, and he gave people that opportunity to do it. In the case of the comedy superstars, Lorne Michaels and Jon Stewart, what they did that I think is so impressive is the way they managed their talent machine and the opportunities that they gave to people. And you look at Lorne Michaels in particular, and you see a really cool thing that he did. You know, there's a cycle of talent that goes through SNL from the old days with Belushi, you know, and Gilda Radner, through Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, to more recently Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, and those two are both hosts of the two late night shows on NBC. The truth of the matter is that Lorne Michaels knew that these people were getting huge opportunities. They were going to leave. What does he do? He helps them get those jobs, kind of a la Bill Walsh from before, right? Helps them get those jobs as the host of the two late night shows on NBC. And by the way, who's the executive producer of that show? It's Lorne Michaels. And so he's figured out a way to manage the flow of talent, if you will, so that he benefits, plus his proteges benefit at the same time.
All right, we started off saying that it's hard to believe that you could create these guys and have them more prevalent in business and the non-business things. So tell us how you make yourself a super boss.
There are two things I'll say about that. Number one, there are a bunch of first steps you can do, and I'll mention a couple of them, that will get you on the path to becoming a super boss. For example, super bosses will look for talent in unusual places. They look for untapped talent pools. They don't just keep going after the same people. They're always looking for talent, and they'll hire someone and create a job for them on the spot if they think they found someone. So that, you know, just that goes against a lot of traditional HR practice, but you can do it, especially if you're a little bit more senior. What could you do if you're like a lower level or mid-level manager? Well, how about customizing how you work with people on your team, another hallmark of super bosses? And that means making sure you understand how each person on your team ticks, what motivates them, what energizes them, what opportunities do they need, and get away from this idea that, you know, you have your own leadership style. You are who you are, and everybody has to adapt to you. You know, no other walk of business life is it the case that the whole world has to adapt to you.
I got to say, one of the most insightful leadership gurus Sid Finkelstein. We had a great time with him, as we always do. Always honored to have him on. Book is Super Bosses, How Exceptional Leaders Master the Flow of Talent. It's published by Portfolio. You've been listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Coming next, we'll be talking with President Reagan's son, Michael Reagan.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
This is a national healthcare alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery and all the paperwork. Work is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces too for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com.
And next up on our leadership show, lessons my father taught me, Michael Reagan, on President Ronald Reagan's legacy of strength, integrity, and faith. Michael Reagan is President Reagan's oldest son. He's chairman of the Reagan Legacy Foundation, also on the board of the John Douglas French Alzheimer's Foundation. And Mike hosted a nationally syndicated, well-known radio talk show for 26 years. And this latest book, Lessons My Father Taught Me, the Strength and Integrity and Faith of Ronald Reagan. Thanks, Mike, for being our second Reagan family member on this show. We had Patty Davis, as I told you a few minutes ago.
Yeah, good deal.
This is a particularly ugly election year that's unfolding, and your dad had uncommon decency. He really marched to the beat of his own drummer, didn't he?
Well, he really did. I mean, or the beat of his mother's drum. I mean, this is a man who never forgot where he came from in Tampico, Illinois. If you ever went to the ranch and visited the ranch house and visited Tampico, Illinois, and where he was raised and went through each house, you wouldn't really see a difference. It's just very humble, and that's the kind of person he was. He was a very humble, humble man. And I think that's why he's so well-loved. I tell one of the stories in my book about Alec Baldwin, who I ran into coming out of a gym a couple of years ago. And I went up to him. I said, Mr. Baldwin, my name's Mike Reagan. Jane Wyman's my mother. He kind of looked at me, and I said, well, I was afraid to tell you Ronald Reagan was my father for fear I might have to duck. And he kind of chuckled at that, and we talked for a moment. He said, I'm so glad you stopped me. He said, I was having dinner with some friends the other night. I told him how much I missed your father. I said, you missed my father. You voted against him every time he had a shot. You sat there and railed against him on every issue known to mankind. What do you mean you missed him? He said, ever since we lost your father, I realized your father had a really good soul. And what the world today is missing is that soul, and I wish we had it back. That's Alec Baldwin.
Well said. And it really was a strategic presidency, looking back on it as well. Is there a fundamental thing that is not known about your dad in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I wrote the book because everybody knows him as a politician. You know, Patty was on the show, and myself, we knew him as Dad. That's what we knew him as. And I think the fundamental thing about my father, he was just decent. You know, he made friends of enemies. He didn't make enemies of friends. He didn't speak down to people. He spoke with people. If you ever spoke to someone, and I'm sure you have, who spoke to my father at an event, shook hands with him, as my dad was at an event, they would tell you that at that very moment, they believed that they were Ronald Reagan's best friend.
You know, it's funny you say that because when I got to know Martin Anderson, you know, the public perception is your dad, he was kind of a lightweight, he was lazy. But Martin told me that the guy intensively was working all the time and thinking and writing. And you get that from your book as well, physically, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was always working. Remember, he grew up in an era when he didn't have television. They didn't have email. They didn't have text. They didn't have all this stuff. They had books. And you, when you walked in and you looked at his library, he actually read all those books and read them and reread them and read them and reread them. He was so knowledgeable about a number of issues. I talk about this in the book, riding out to the ranch with him on a Saturday. I had 20 years with him, and my sister Maureen had 24, being with him just as dad going out to the ranch before he got into politics. And he would just, he would tell you stories about everything known to mankind. And, you know, he would sing every song of every military group, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard. I mean, this is how he treated us. And you just sit there in awe as you would go out to the ranch and hear these stories time and time again. So knowledgeable on just a host of issues.
Very interesting, I found in your book, too. Your family's always been looked at as sort of famously dysfunctional in some ways with the kids. and you talk about that Nancy and Ron, their childhood really informed a lot of how they behaved, and it sort of made it hard for other people, even their kids, to penetrate them. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I do. You know, I've really tried to figure out, you know, why people do things, especially in my own family. And, you know, like I was in boarding school, and I was ticked off and mad when I was in boarding school. As I got older, I started to understand why I was boarding school, because of the jobs my parents had, if you will. And I look at Dad and Nancy. I mean, Dad, when my mother divorced him, it was just absolutely the worst thing that happened to my father. Hmm. And my father made like a kind of a promise to himself, I'm never going to let another woman leave me. I'm going to do everything I can to keep a marriage together. On the other hand, you know, Nancy, who on the day she's born, her father walks out on her. And she makes a promise to herself, I'm never going to have another man walk out on me. Hmm. And so now these two people meet, fall madly in love, and get married. One woman says, I'm never going to let a man walk out of me. A man who says, I'm never going to lose another woman. And they formed this bond, and it was very tough for anybody to get in between that bond. They were so mad, they were in love with each other. And I don't think they really saw what they were doing to the kids at times, but I think back and I go, like, this is what bonded them, is what happened to them as children. Isn't that what bonds so many of us, the things that we do in the future?
Interesting, too, that an insight that comes out of that. You know, you talk about yourself as being the only real Reagan conservative. Patty and Ron were fairly liberal. But you talk about the fact that they didn't get the 20 years you got, and that they thought that, you know, maybe the conservatives took their parents away.
Well, they did. I mean, the conservatives, the Christian community really took them away. You know, they voted against our father to be president of the United States. And if you really think about it, Ron was 8 years old when Dad ran for governor. Patty was like 14 when he ran for governor. I mean, here's two kids taken out of the house that they're raised in and taken to 300 miles away to Sacramento, put into a home that nobody in the family liked. And they're having to make new friends, new school, new everything. No kid likes to do that. Not at all. And you're always to fix blame somewhere. And who's to blame? Let's blame politics. And then Dad gets into presidential politics and whatever. And, you know, the light bulb, if you will, the camera isn't just on the dad and the mom. Hmm. The camera's on the kids, too. And so you put us under an unbelievable amount of pressure. I'll give you an idea. My daughter, Ashley, when she was born in 1983, the Secret Service were in the birthing room. We found out our daughter's code name for the Secret Service before we even found out she was a girl. I mean, nobody understands that side. They always say, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. Well, yeah, but you lose all that privacy that you, in fact, used to have. And I think about Patty and Ron, 8 years old, 13, 14 years old, really losing their father, not able to have those rides out to the ranch as much as Maureen and I had those rides out to the ranch, the riding of horses so much, the shooting the ground squirrels, the chopping of wood, and so on. They did some of it, but not to the extent that I did.
It's a great insight. It's a great insight. I never realized that. Patty talked about what those rides meant to her, and obviously the fact that she got such a lower proportion. Now, obviously the book, you call your dad the greatest man you've known, and we talk about a lot of his values here. Tell first quickly the story. You were adopted, but you felt you were the chosen one with a debt to Maureen.
Yeah, I mean, a debt to Maureen. I mean, Maureen, there at the Schwab's Pharmacy on Sunset Boulevard back in 1944. And Maureen's like 3 years old, 4 years old. She has 97 cents in her little purse, and she puts it on the table in front of the pharmacist. The pharmacist says, what do you want, little girl? She says, I want a brother. And her parents, Jane Wyman and Ronald Reagan, are quite embarrassed by all this. And back then, you got to understand that women who were actresses couldn't act if they were pregnant. They didn't put pregnant women on television, in the movies. So there was a lot of us adopted into Hollywood families back in that day. And so what would happen, a young girl would get pregnant in Ohio and come to California, hear about Ronald Reagan and Jane Wyman looking for a child, and I would be born in March of 1945. And, you know, when I came home from the hospital, 3 days old, came home to the hospital, my sister Maureen ran upstairs, got her piggy bank out, couldn't get the quart from the bottom of the piggy bank, threw it on the floor, busted the piggy bank, grabbed 97 cents off the floor, ran downstairs and gave it to the nurse and brought me home and said, thank you for my brother. She then found out that I was a younger brother. She thought all boys were older than their sisters. But, you know, that's how I got into the Reagan family. I joke when I go out, I did this at Liberty University last year. I said, you know, I was born German, and 3 days later I was Irish.
Every person's dream, right? The luck of the Irish.
That's right. You want to go out and have a beer, I'm the guy to have a beer with.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, and WYBC at Yale. We'll have some more lessons from his father with Michael Reagan coming right up.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Our guest, President Reagan's son, Michael Reagan. We're back with some of the lessons that his father taught him. One thing that fascinated me was in the section on speaking the truth and living the truth, it was always considered that, wow, an actor shouldn't be president. How can that be serious? And you talk about acting as revealing ultimate authenticity and truth, which kind of surprised me. We don't think of acting that way often.
You need to remember that people have to draw from what they know. So, and I tell one story in the book about Angie Dickinson. My dad did a movie called The Killers. It was terrible. God, it was terrible. And I was at an event with Angie Dickinson a few years ago, and we were talking about The Killers. She said, you know, your dad was terrible in that movie. I said, well, the whole movie was terrible, and I know Dad wasn't that good either. She says, you know why your dad wasn't good in that movie? I said, no, why? He's never been a bad guy. He didn't know how to relate. They put him in a position of being a bad guy in a movie. I mean, your father's never been a bad guy. My dad truly understood, you know, the camera's going to pick up your flaws. It's going to pick up everything. And you better be camera ready when you show up and really know what, in fact, you're talking about and know what you believe and know why you believe it. And he really did.
You know, the movies, Hollywood and politics, you know, would seem to attract the most narcissistic, self-centered people you can find. Where did he get such humility in those two professions, particularly when we see folks like Donald Trump running for president now?
From his mother, from his father, from the people he grew up with in Tampico and Dixon, Illinois. He was in awe of where he went, but he also understood who he was. And that's why he used his humor. He could use his humor to kind of deflate things or make people feel at ease, if you will, in front of him, because they'd be nervous in front of him because where he had risen to. But he was so very, very humble in all facets of his life. I mean, one of the placards he had on his desk was, don't tell him where a man can go or what he can accomplish. He doesn't worry who gets the credit.
Where did he get that visionary sense of almost a dreamer and, you know, saw reshaping and restructuring the relationship with the Soviet Union when detente was the way, saw the SDI not as more than a negotiating tactic? Is it come from being the child of an alcoholic? And where did he get the courage of these convictions?
God, he loved his father so much. His father, you know, being an alcoholic still taught him a lot. You know, as what his father said to him one time, when they start paying you not to work, why work? And Dad would pass that down to me and what have you. I remember in 1976, and I talk about it in my book, saying to my dad, why do you want to run for president? This is when he lost. And he said, you know, Michael, for so long I've watched American presidents sit down with Secretary General of the Soviet Union. Every time we sit down with them, they ask us to give up something to get along with them. I wanted to run for presidency and win so I could sit down with the Secretary General of the Soviet Union. And when he was telling me what it was I was going to have to give up to get along with him, I was going to get up from the table, walk around the other side of it, lean over and whisper in his ear, yet. I was going to say no to the Secretary General. That's think about this for a moment. This is 76. He doesn't know he's going to run yet. So I tell people, Nancy hadn't told him he was going to run in 1980 yet. So here we go. And in 1980, he does run. He wins. And 1986, 10 years later, almost to the date, in October of 86, he's a Reykjavik Iceland. Mikhail Gorbachev says to him, hey, if you want me to sign on to the START agreement, you're going to have to give up SDI or Star Wars. Ronald Reagan does what? He says, yet. No, and he walks away. And everybody in the media thought it was the worst thing that ever happened to Ronald Reagan, that he absolutely got crushed by Mikhail Gorbachev in that. But 2 years later, the Berlin Wall falls.
Do you find it almost breathtaking that he had the guts and would not be necessarily considered a pure conservative vision to go for a nuclear-free world?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Remember, he was fighting communism. He was all that. This was not a new battle for him. This is something he was just so knowledgeable in and so learned in all of his entire life. And he was a peaceful guy, but you get into politics and people think other things. And this is why I wrote the book. I didn't want you to see the political side of Ronald Reagan. I wanted you to see the dad side.
Yeah.
The side that I saw for 20 years before he got into politics. I mean, the worst thing that happened to you in politics, you wake up one morning and somebody says, hey, you won. The worst thing that happens to you in politics, hey, you won. Because politics, you know, takes you away from family. It doesn't bring you to family. And if you're Ron Patty and all of a sudden your father's no longer at home, you're no longer taking the rides to the ranch, you're not able to spend the time with him because other people are taking the time that used to be yours. I can understand their anger and frustration at the conservative movement, Christian community, because they were the ones in their minds that took their father away from them.
Was it difficult living up to such a legendary guy? And talk a little bit about what you're doing for the Reagan Legacy Foundation and the John Douglas French.
When you really think about it, I mean, there's only two people who were ever born or raised in a family with an Academy Award-winning actress and the guy who's going to be president of the United States. That's my sister Maureen and I. Wow. Nobody else has lived that life. A lot of times, no matter what you do, it's so overshadowed by who you are. A lot of people don't know I've written 8 books, and a lot of people don't know I was Apple World Champion in 67.
I didn't know that either.
Of the year, 5 world records during the 1980s, number one fundraiser in the United States Olympic team back to the 1984 Olympics. 26 years, he said, in talk radio. Nobody knows what you did because you're so overshadowed by who you are. And it can make you very angry and very frustrated. Like, what do I need to do to somebody say, hello, how are you? And that's tough. I think where I changed up is I finally just said, accepted it. And said, this is who I am. There's nothing I do about it. My God, be proud that Ronald Reagan was your father and the things he was able to accomplish. I travel all over the world. I mean, and I'm as close to Ronald Reagan as anybody's ever going to get. And so they come up to me and tell me all the stories. We formed the Reagan Legacy Foundation to supply scholarships for the men and women who serve on the USS Ronald Reagan. I was just there in March 15th passing out $25,000 scholarships to the kids on the ship. We just opened up last week dedicated the Ronald Reagan Center at St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France. First town freed by America on D-Day. We produced a 55-minute film for that opening that will shortly be on the military channel. We did things in Berlin. We have a Ronald Reagan Center checkpoint showing museum. You know, if people are going to say, hey, you're Ronald Reagan's kid, what else do you do? You know, so I'll just be Ronald Reagan's kid, and what else do I do? Is honor my father wherever he was in the world. And that's what we do. People can go to ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. We have a brick program we've now started. You can buy a brick to honor a World War II vet from the European theater and be put at St. Mary Glees, the first town freed by America on D-Day. You'll get a like brick, a paver of your own that matches the one we're going to put at St. Mary Glees. So they can go there, ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. I work with John Douglas French Alzheimer's Foundation. I now chair it. 100% of the money that we raise goes to find a cure.
We do miss President Reagan, and I can't think of any greater honor than that you've dedicating your life at this stage to honor the Reagan legacy. It's ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. It's Michael Reagan we've been talking about, oldest child of President Reagan. And the book is Lessons My Father Taught Me, The Strength, Integrity, and the Faith of Ronald Reagan. It's a great read. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. You can get podcasts at iTunes. Search Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show is going to be a big deal. We got a rare interview with one of the most powerful women on Wall Street at the time, the chief financial officer of Lehman Brothers when the firm collapsed in the financial crisis of 08. That's Erin Callan. I want to thank Professor Sid Finkelstein from the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, Michael Reagan, and thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see you next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
BizTalkRadio.com.